Somebody said she's still in the water. I remember when one of the sisters told us, and I said, now listen, when you do this Bible app thing, I said, make sure you look at the words and read every one of them word by word. And they wanted to memorize it. And you look out there at the people and you get nervous. You'll miss a line. They'll be with you. They'll be gracious. But you just got to, until you get used to it, you just got to keep doing it. Right? So it's a blessing. Thank you. I'm so glad she's doing that. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this great opportunity. We love you so, so much. And we're so appreciative. I am just so elated for what you're doing to us and for us in the kingdom of God. So, Lord, I just thank you for making us your masterpiece. And so we appreciate you so much. And as we preach today, we ask you to remove any kind of selfishness that's inside of me so you can speak through me and allow your word to touch the heart and minds of everyone that's in this place and those who listen on airways. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Amen. Just want to remind you all, on Wednesday at 6 o'clock, please join me at Bible study. Last week we had life rooms and it was so packed we had to keep pulling out chairs, right? So come and join us. I'm going to literally walk through the book of Romans. And it's going to be extremely, extremely interesting, right? So come out and join us for Bible study. It's going to be very, very exciting. So I won't be before you long, but I'm going to use all my time. So it's important, right? So the title is You Are God's Masterpiece, right? The Kingdom Within You. The Kingdom Within You. Now, I want you to understand something, because I talk about it. And Sister Mitchell, it's so nice to see you. I saw you out there and a big smile came on my face. I love you so much. It's so important, and I try to talk about it every week. I try to really emphasize the importance of God operating inside of us every single week. And that's intentional, right? Because the kingdom of God, once you understand the kingdom of God and you're in this kingdom and the king rules, but when you really, 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 really understand the importance of God in your life, it changes you. I want you to understand something, that you are extremely, extremely, extremely important to God. You are extremely important to God. God don't make no junk, right? And he doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't have illegitimate children. He don't have bastard children, right? When you were created, I don't care what the situation was with your parents, when you came here, God intended for you to be here. God had a plan for your life, and God never creates anything for it to fail, right? He never wanted anything to fail. So he created you to be a success, right? It's just a problem sometimes in this society and on this journey. We get so much stuff get downloaded into our system, it make us sometimes forget who we really are. And I just want to remind you all that you are a masterpiece, right? And when you leave here today, I want you to feel good about who you are. It's important. But not only who you are, but I want you to walk away understanding, man, that the person that you look at, the person that you interact with, the person that you deal with on a day-to-day basis, also have God residing in them as well, right? So when you see them, you also see a glimpse of God. Now, that's my baby girl in the back, right? So, and it's important to understand that everything that happens in your life, I don't know why he did it like this here, but it's really a reflection of what's going on in your life. You almost crystallize your thoughts in real time. I told you guys that you are the actor, the producer, or the playwright of your own life, right? And so, but the beauty of it is, when God is walking with you and as you, it matters. But you have to understand that. Because when we get beat upside the head so much and so many things happen to us in life, we don't realize who we are, right? We don't really understand the significance of who we are. The only time we think God is real is, man, when something happened in our life and we get blessed and we say, ooh, I know God, won't he do it, right? But he does it every single day. The fact that you're sitting here today, well, you listen to my voice today is a blessing. Because so many of us have been through so much hell in our life. We've been through so much. I mean, we've really been through it. We came through it. And the thing is, God was with you the entire time. And he knew what you was going through, and he knew he was going to bring you through it. And some of you guys seem like you're in the middle of something that it seemed like it's going to get the best of you. But I want you to know that God is with you in it. You just have to shift your focus and get your focus off of everybody else and put your focus on God and realize that God is working in you through you and as you. And if you understand that, so no weapon ever formed against you would ever prosper, right? So I don't care what people say about you. I don't care what they do to you. It does not matter because I know who I am, right? And it gives you a confidence and a boldness and it gives you something that a lot of people who don't know God have. And that's an assurance to know that I can get through whatever I'm going through. And this is only a pit stop, right? Whatever's happened in my life is only there for a minute. Amen? So I want to tell you this story about the young man who wrote this psalm, and I preach it all the time. And when I was doing it last night, and I said, man, God, this is interesting, right? David was a phenomenal, phenomenal king, right? But David didn't start off as a king, right? David was a little shepherd boy in the backyard, right? And nobody ever thought anything about David because David was not like his brothers. He wasn't tall and handsome and beautiful and all this kind of stuff and powerful. He wasn't a warrior and all that. He was just a young boy who had a great relationship with God, and he had confidence in God because he spent time with God, and God would always rescue him from situations. So he had a great confidence, more confidence than his brothers and his dad, right? And so when God got ready to name a king, he chose David, right? And so God chose David. Everybody said God chose David. Now, remember that God chose David. God used Samuel to anoint David as the king of Israel, right? Because David was God's chosen man. Now, keep this in mind. He was chosen by God, right? Not by somebody else, right? Because other people thought his brothers and everybody else should have been the king, right? But God told Samuel, he said, listen, I want you to anoint this man right here because he is going to be the one, right, is going to deliver the children of Israel. He is going to be the one, right? But everybody else thought it was somebody else, right? Often, we put confidence in other people and not realizing who we are, right? But David knew who he was. Now, David had a lot of flaws in his life. He made a lot of mistakes in his life. But one thing for sure, despite all of his shortcomings, David loved God. And I mean, he loved God with all of his heart. In the midst of him loving God, he still made mistakes. And he made some grave mistakes. He did some things, man, that everybody think God would never, ever forgive you for. You know, David had a man killed and then married his wife and got her pregnant and had a baby by her, right? And so, and David literally had the man murdered, right? But God said David was a man after my own heart because man judged the outward appearance, but God judges your heart. Now, it's important. So you have to make sure your heart is right. Everybody say, my heart need to be right. Now, when God created you, he created you with his heart, right? So he created you with his good heart, and he know what you need. He knew what the world needed. He knew what the body of Christ needed, right? And so that's important. So as we walk through this psalm, I want you to understand something. Now, in Corinthians, Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and here's what Paul said. Don't you realize that all of you together, everybody said together, yeah, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives where? Now, this is important. He said, all of you guys at the temple of God. He didn't say Kingdom Embassy was the temple of God. He said, all of you all is the temple of God. The people is the temple of God. Everybody said, I am the temple of God. God resides in me. That's important for you to understand, right? Now, here's what he said. This is the second part. So Paul kept on writing. He says, God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. So that lets me know right there, I don't have a right or the power or the authority to try to hurt other people. Right? I can't destroy. It can't be my mission to try to lie on people, mistreat people, misrepresent God, telling people what God did, what God said, when I'm using it to hurt other people. And then I hide behind Jesus, and I'm saved, right? We can't look at people and look at their shortcomings or their mishaps and then and belittle them and talk about them. Because when we look at them, man, we're really looking at God's temple, right? If we can see people, it's the way you see the world. If you don't see the world that way, you won't move that way. I want you guys, when you leave here today, man, to realize God lives in you. Every young person, I want you to understand, when you go to school, right, when you're on a sports team, whatever you're doing, remember that God created you, right, and he resides in you. And whether you play an instrument or whether you run a football or basketball, bounce a ball, whatever you do, whether you do poetry, whatever, realize, man, that I'm the best of the best because I got the best operating with me, right? So I can do all things. Everybody say all things. All things. I can do all things, right, through Christ that strengthens me. So I got to realize the God in me, once I recognize him in me, right, and then there's nothing can stop me from being what I can be. Nothing can stop me, right? And so I don't care what anybody say. I don't care how you try to hurt me. I don't care how you try to put me down. I know who I am. Now, listen, we have to tell ourselves that. We can't wait for somebody else to encourage us. So many of us, man, looking for somebody else, man, to encourage us. Listen, if you're waiting on somebody else outside to encourage you, get ready when they talk about you. Because somebody's going to lift you up, and the enemy's going to send somebody to try to tear you down. And if you live your life, man, based on what other people think about you, you're going to have a roller coaster life. You're going to be up today and down tomorrow. You need to know who you are. It's an inside job. I got to know that God is with me and no devil in hell can stop me from being everything God called me to be. Right? Now, so I don't care what you say about me. All right? I don't care what your view is about me. I know who I am. Right? And I got to move like that. Now, here's the thing. And you're going to know I move like that by the way I treat you, right? So the way I treat you and the way I behave is going to let you know who resides in me, right? And that's important. So you have to understand that. And you are a masterpiece, right? You're the best of the best. Listen, when he gave you the keys of the kingdom, he gave you something, right? It's important. I don't want you guys to miss this. Now, so let's walk through this thing, right? In Psalm 139, David writes this psalm. Now, David was on the run. David was the king. David killed a man. David also had his kingdom, man, almost ripped away from him, man, by his son, Absalom. And things were happening. And Absalom had a son, had his dad on the run. Saul wanted to kill him, all right? Even though he loved Saul with all his heart, he had nothing to do with him being anointed king. Listen, he had nothing to do with him being anointed king. God chose David. Right? So sometimes people be jealous of you, not because of what you did, it's because what God did for you. All right? So you got to understand you can't be concerned about what they think because it's not your fault that God blessed you. Right? It's not your fault that God favored you. Right? So people are going to look at you backwards, right, because you've been blessed. Just don't you walk around and think you're better than somebody else because you're blessed. Because everybody is blessed in their way. Everybody's gifted in the way God gifted them to be gifted, right? And so when you look at people and you move, understand that, and don't go around thinking that you're better than someone else or you're putting other people down and talking about them because I want you to know who you are, right? Now, so in the psalm, it says, "Oh, Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me." So now, God already, listen to me, when he got ready to put you together, Sam, he knew everything about your life. He knew what you were going to be thinking before you ever thought it. He knew all your shortcuts. He knew all your secrets, right? He knew everything about it. But what he wants you to do is make a commitment to him. He wants you to make a commitment to him. I know you got some issues. Most of your issues are really not your issues. Most of your issues are cultural issues. It's issues that happen in your family. People have downloaded stuff into you and made you a certain way. But I'm telling you, I need you to be born again. That's why the born again experience is so important, because sometimes, man, we in families or we in environments or we work in community that people are telling us certain, you know, you walk around because you got some red bottom shoes and you think you're somebody. Right? All you did was paid a lot of money to somebody else. And you got a pair of cheap shoes on, and because they red on the bottom, you think you're somebody. And when you go to bed at night, you just take the shoes off, and they're in the closet, and they're just another pair of shoes in the corner. Because the shoes and clothes and car don't mean nothing. Everything in this world is about relationships, right? And so, so God knows your heart, right? Because he operates through your heart, right? So the writer says, "Oh, Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down, or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You know everything about me in the way I move, right? How I move. You know this, right? So when I'm doing something and I'm requesting something from God, he already know who you are. So don't try to fool him. Don't put your makeup on and say stuff and do your affirmations in the mirror, all right, and then leave the mirror and do something else. Don't try to convince yourself that you're anything other than a child of God and who God is in your life, right? And so it's important to understand God knows your heart, and he knows everything about you already, right? Before you even pray, he already knows what you're going to say, right? And that's important, but he wants you to know who you are. He wants you to be a great business person. He wants you to be a great teacher. He wants you to be a great coach. He wants you to be a great writer. He wants you to be a great dancer, right? Whatever you are, God gave you the gift to be that, right? And he knows your heart. Now, listen, he said, however gifted you are, however talented you are, I got to make sure your heart is right. Because if your heart is not right, you're going to look at people as you move, and you're going to think different. Because when you have a dark heart and you don't understand, you walk around arrogant and cocky, thinking you're something that you're not. Or you look so down on yourself because you don't know, because your heart has been broken. Right? But the more you get in tune with God and understand who he is and realize that he knows everything about me. So he said, examine my heart, God. Right? He said, I know you know everything about me because you created me. Then he goes on and says, you see me when I travel and when I rest at home. All right? You know everything I do. Everything I do, you know about me. My friends may not know, but you know. Here's why. Because he resides in you. Because you know everything about you. You can lie to everybody else, but you can't lie to you. You can never, ever lie to you. Because God resides inside of you. You can fake it. You can say stuff. But in the mirror, when you look, you got to be honest with the person in the mirror. Because you're looking at you. Right? Now, you can trick me. Only for a while. Because whatever's on the inside is going to manifest itself on the outside. So if your heart is dark, right, and you're faking it, you're trying to make me think you're something. When I say me, I ain't talking about me personally. And I'm talking about people. And you try to make them think you're something when you're really not that, it's going to show up in your life. Then you're going to get angry and upset, man, when you get exposed. Because you're going to keep on, you can run for a long time, right, when your heart is dark, right? And God didn't give you a dark heart. That's why he says, man, know that he's with you. Know that when you are by yourself, or when you're doing a business deal, or you're having a conversation with your spouse, or you're talking to your children, remember, God is right there listening. And he's right there making the conversation with them. And he's sitting right there, and you know he's telling you, don't you say it. I'm telling you, don't you do it. It's not good for you. It's not for your best interest, right? I have plans for you, and my plans for you is for you to succeed. He said, I gave you my stamp of approval when I gave you my spirit, right? So he goes on to say this. He said, you know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. That means you sanction me. You already sanctioned me as a success. You've already blessed me. You've already told me that you intended for me to be a success. You already told me I'm with you and I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. So if you go, he said, I'm with you. Don't you understand? When I put my hand on your head, I bless you. That's the guy saying, he said, I bless you. I'm there with you. He says, you go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. He said, this knowledge is too great for me to even understand. It's just too wonderful. I can't even understand. Why? Because they told me I was nobody. But why do you think I'm important? They keep talking about me. They're running me down. So I'm going around. And I don't feel like I'm nothing. Right? Because they told me I was nothing. He said, don't listen to them. Know that I'm with you, and I never leave you nor forsake you. Realize that you're not what they say you are. You what I say you are. Now, if you think if you think you junk, then you think I'm junk. He's because you was created in my image. So listen, if you feel like you're nobody and you're a slut, then you're telling me I'm a slut. If you think you're a bum, then you're telling me I'm a bum. If you tell me, if you say, well, I can't do this, it's just too hard, and you're telling me that I'm inadequate. Well, you don't understand. I just can't make it. And you telling me I can't make it. So you telling God, right, because he's residing in you, I can't do nothing. He said, hold it now. That ain't how I roll. I know the plans I have for you. I know who you are. He said, I know how beautiful you are. I know how smart you are. Some of you are. He said, I took you to the top with no training. I trained you to be the best. You didn't have to go to school for it. I put it down. You didn't understand why it was in the atmosphere. You didn't understand why you could do what you can do. You don't know how it happened. I know you thought you learned it in school. No, they just indoctrinated. He says, listen to me. It's me working through you. Right? He said, and understand that. That's why you watch kids sometime, and then you say, man, that kid can't read. That kid can't do this here. And then you put on a rap song. Right? And then all of a sudden, man, they can tell you the whole rap. Turn it off, and they can keep on rapping. Right? And then they can go from one rap song to the next one and to the next. You say, oh, I didn't know they can do that. Oh, of course they can. But somebody told them there was nothing over here. When God says, listen, you was created in my image. You are a success. You're a masterpiece. You're the best. Right? Racism don't affect you. He said, that's a social construct. That thing don't have no power over you unless you give it power. He said, if you want to be rich, he said, you can put your money in the stock market. He said, and the money is green for everybody. And I can help you pick the right stock. You want to start your business? Start your business. I send people your way. I gave you the gift to do it. I gave you the fruit for the tree. You don't have to worry about it. They're going to come and eat the fruit off your tree. Right? And then he goes on and says this. I can never escape from your spirit. This is what I really want to get to. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. So what that mean? That means God is always with you. Everybody say always. Always. So whatever I'm dealing with, Spud, whatever's happening, all right, while you put me down and call me this and saying I'm not going to be this here, God says, hey, listen to me. He's sitting right there saying, listen, you're not what they say you are. That's not you. Don't you listen to that, because I'm telling you that's not you. And he said, and I'm right there with you, right? And you said, but you don't understand, this is too tough. And some of us make mistakes and end up in the worst of the worst. He said, I'm right there with you. This is what he says. I can never escape from your spirit. David told him, said, listen, I don't care what's happening. I know you always going to be there. I'm the ram in the bush. I may not come when you want me, but I'm going to always be right on time. He said, I'm going to bless you, right? He said, I need you to understand it, right? And then he goes on and says, if I go to heaven, you'll be there. He said, if I go down to the grave, you'll be there. Listen to me. If I go to heaven, you'll be there. If I go to the grave, if I end up in the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst, when they feel like my back is against the wall and I have nowhere to go, God says, I'm there with you. He said, I'm in the pit with you. He said, I'm not leaving you. Wherever you go, I'm there. That's why you can't sneak and do nothing. Because wherever you go, he's there. You got to know he's inside of you. Because he made you for success. And he's going to remind you every time you do something that's contrary to him, not with somebody else. He'll let you know in your spirit what's not right. Nobody has to tell you, because the God in you will tell you. Now, you can be a narcissist. You can be egotistical. You can be whatever you want to be, but I don't care how narcissist you are. I don't care how egotistic you are. God is going to always let you know, get it together. Now, you may not do it, and he's going to be right there telling you. And if you don't do it, he's going to spank you a little bit and then hit you, and then you're going to realize, like, God, I need your help. He said, I was there the whole time. You just ignored me because you thought you could do it your way. Right? Without me. So a lot of times we try to make moves, man, without God present. We don't realize he's present in our life. So we moving as the, listen, how do I cheat on Sister Durin? How do I cheat on Sister Durin and think God ain't there? How do I do it? He said, listen, I'm right there. When you, I'm going to make you feel so guilty that you're scared. You're looking out the window before you leave the building. You're looking over your shoulder. You want to know where is that the right place? What am I? Don't y'all raise your hand. You be sneaking in. The reason why you're sneaking because God says, God making you know right then and there, you ain't got no business. Right? Because he said, because I didn't create you to be in that mess. You don't have no business, man, taking money from somebody else. You know, I was listening to this thing, man, with the government, with the food stamps and the snaps and all that. And these people doing all this kind of stuff. And he had everybody a little scared. Right? But he said, I got this thing. Right? I got this. Right? And remember, I got this. Right? He said, I'm not going to let the righteous go hungry now. I had got more people, more caterers. You know, I had the big event for the catering, for the marriage meeting. I had caterers already calling and telling me, said, listen, okay, we got to get together. I'm going to do this meal this day, and then I'm going to cook again this day. Now, we don't want you to do nothing. We just want to use your facility, and we're going to feed the people. I had churches calling me, said, listen, just call me up. Tell me what's your plan. You know, so while y'all doing this here, God said, I got mine. You got to know that God says, I'm not going to let you go down like that. Right? And then let me move on, right? So then he says this, I can ask the darkness. Now, I want you to hear this now because I want you to understand that you're a masterpiece. I can ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from God. Even in my darkness, you know, you go in there, you shut the door, and you turn off all the lights, and he's there. You get up under the cover, he's there. You get in your car, and you want to drive off to the sun, he's there. You want to go to the beach and get away from everybody? He's there. You want to go to the bar and get a drink? He's there. Wherever you go, he's there. Right? You say, I got to call so-and-so up, man, so we can. He said, I'm there. He said, wherever you go, I'm there because I'm not leaving you or forsaking you because I have a purpose for your life. That's why you've escaped some of the stuff, man, when you should have been dead. And some of you guys should have got caught up. But he blessed you. He blessed you. The only reason you're not in the jam, because he blessed you. It ain't because you're smart, you thought you were slick. It wasn't because you thought you were slick. I got them. They thought they had. No, it's because God's grace. I remember one time I took a job, and the guy said, listen, whatever you do, man, don't hire her. Right? And I took the athletic director job, and they said, don't hire her because she's been stealing money for years. We just didn't say nothing to her. That's the truth, right? So she thought she didn't know. It was God's grace. It was only God's grace. He's there the whole time, right? He was giving her a way of escape, giving her an opportunity to turn it around, right? And then so I had to. It wanted me to pick him up. I couldn't do it. I had to let him go. Right? I'm telling you, man, God knows everything you're doing. He's walking with you on every journey. He in every space. Right? He said, but even if the darkness cannot hide from you, he said, to you, night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. Then he says, you. Now, here's what it is. Here we go. Loterio, I want you to get this here, man, because it ain't got nothing to do with your mama. All right? He said, now listen to me. I want y'all to hear this. Here's where you become the masterpiece, Sheikah. He says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and you knitted me together while I was in your mother's womb. God says, listen, I was already working on you while you was in your mother's womb, I was already shaping you. I was already making you because you're going to be special. You're important to me. So I shape you and I mold you, man, before you ever came to the earth. I remember Terrence Howard. How many people have heard of Terrence Howard? Terrence Howard, God gave him a gift. Terrence Howard had a gift that he was able to tell you what was going on while he was in his mother's belly. Most people don't have that gift. He was telling you, man, how the fight and the struggle was going on in the womb. Right? You ought to listen to his testimony. It's a powerful, powerful testimony because God was working on it and God showed him this. Right? I'm telling you, man, the struggle while your mama was crying and cramping up and God was just working on you. You know, I know you had that big old head and anything that was coming out, it was coming. And some of y'all heads were so big, God said, I got to cut the belly to pull it out. Right? He said, but I got to bring them out because I got a lot inside their head that people need to know about. Right? And some of you all, your mama wanted to abort you. She said, I don't even want to have this baby. And some of them tried to abort you and couldn't kill you. Because God intended for you to be here because you're going to make a difference because you're a masterpiece. You're not just anybody. So you got to know who you are. That's why you got to change the way you think. You got to know who you are and whose you are, right? He says, you made all the delicate enterprises of my body, and you knitted me together while I was in my mother's womb. Then he says, but thank you. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Yeah. He said, your workmanship is marvelous. I know I'm a masterpiece. Yeah. I'm bad, and I know don't judge me based on my weight. Because I might be skinny tomorrow if I take the surgery, right? Or I may be skinny today and big tomorrow. Because don't look at my outward appearance. Know that I was creating this image. I'm a spirit inside of a dirt body. And the body is just an instrument that God used for me to operate in the earth. The real him is the spirit inside of you. And he's operating inside of you. And this is important. Don't you want to forget this. He says, how marvelous is your workmanship. You are the bomb.com. Listen, you are bad. A lot of time, we see God and the gift of God in other people, but we don't see him in us. You say, oh, man, they so talented. Oh, she do this so good. Oh, man, he dance so good. He can sing so good. He can do this here. But you don't say what I can do. But while you saying that about somebody else, God is showing your gift to somebody else, and they saying it about you. I guarantee you. Some people don't think you're nothing, and some people think you're the bomb. Some people just die and wish they could be you. Because they see God manifesting himself in your life. But you can't see it because you be so broken. You're so hurt, right? But once you turn your life over to God and you see yourself as God see you, right, then the enemy removes the veil. And it's like, ooh-wee, right? I move with confidence, right? He says this here. He said, you watched me as I was being formed. Watch this. This is important, Martha. He said, I watched you as you was being formed in utter seclusion. As I was being woven together in the dark of the womb. Now, this is good. You saw me before I was born. Right? Now, here's the big one, Al. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. God said, I already planned you. I just need you to work this thing out. He said, every day, right? He said, every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. He said, I finished you before I ever started you. He said, it's important to understand when I was making you, I was making a masterpiece. I was making something that was going to make a difference because you were going to be my temple. So I had to make you right because I had to reside in you. And I'm not going to build me a house that looked like garbage when I got to live in it. Now, if you had the opportunity, all the resources, and money was not a barrier, all right, tell me, Pentecost, if they gave you all the money you want, and they said, build a house you want to build, I want you to get the best architect, right, and I want him to draw up the plans you want. I know your head, you already think about your house already, right? He said, listen. And you would make that house so beautiful. Some of you guys make a tech house. You'd be in Senecaut Valley. You have everything be tech. You just speak to it. And the lights said, come on, Kurt. You know, so how many people can do that thing, right? He said, you are that to me. He says, when I made you, I pick you, and you is where I'm going to be residing. So you think I'm going to make some junk that I got to ride in, that I got to live in? He said, when I created you, I didn't make no mess. I took the best of the best. You the high tech. You the real avatar. Right? He says, because you that deal for real. Right? And so when I made you, I was very particular about you. You know, I wanted to make sure you had that mold you had that you don't like, I intended for it to be there. Because it's going to serve a purpose. Somebody going to look at that mold and say, ooh, it's so sexy. Right? And I want to marry that girl just for the mold alone. Right? And you thought it was ugly. You know that gap in your teeth? Everybody was laughing about. Somebody said, ooh, that girl, no, she's sexy with that gap. Ooh, wait, look at that gap. Right? Because, listen, because God don't make you unless he's making perfection. So everything about you is perfection. That's why a lot of people get all these makeovers and all this kind of stuff and do all that kind of stuff. Listen, all you're doing is telling God, I don't like who I am. I'm not saying don't put on makeup. I'm not saying don't wear no weave. I'm not saying none of that stuff. I'm saying it's some people, man, they go get facelifts and they want to change this here. They want to put dye to change. They saying, God, I don't like who I am. Right? I don't like the way you made me. He said, but when I made you, I was very, very particular about you. He said, when you was in your mother's womb, I was shaping you. I knew you was going to be left-handed. He said, I knew everything about you. I knew one of your legs was going to be shorter than the other one for a reason. Right? Y'all laughing, right? Now, because everything God does is for a reason. Because we look at things as it's a guy that God made with no legs and no hands. But he's such a genius that he can talk to the computer. And so he does speaking engagements all over the country, and he makes thousands and thousands of dollars talking. Because everybody want to come. First of all, they want to see a guy with no hands and no feet. So you already rich just for everybody to come to see you. Right? So you got to realize who you are. And so when God made you, don't be ashamed of who you are, because I'm a masterpiece. Right? And then be appreciative of who you are. Right? And God know every mistake you made, because he's right there where? With you. Because he's inside of you. Quit looking for him out there in the sky and look for him inside of here. Because as long as you look for him out there, then you'll never appreciate you in here. Right? Now, listen, this is important. So here it says, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you're still with me. He said, listen, this is what he says. How precious are your thoughts? You, when you made me, you was very, very thoughtful and very meticulous. You wanted to make sure everything was right. You hear me? He gave some people, this is a true story, right? Some of us couldn't grow hair, right? He gave somebody, this ain't got nothing to do with women. He took somebody and gave them a gift, Dr. Briggs, that they could take a piece, glue it to a man's head, cut his hair, line him up, and you don't know if it's his hair or not. Now, because God knew that somebody was going to have a low self-esteem because of their hair, so he gave somebody a gift to be able to fix it. Right? So everything, listen, this is real talk. But if we don't look at it that way, we'll think, ah, no, that didn't happen. Everything God does, man, to make you feel good about who you are. He gave somebody the gift to be able to do it for you. Because he knew you was going to need, he knew you was coming along. He knew before you was ever born your weaknesses. He knew it. I was telling somebody, when I started the church, this is a true story. When I started the church, I didn't know what I was going to do, right? This is a true story. I hate to tell their business, but this is a true story. So I didn't know what to do. You know, Spud used to coach referee. He saw me referee. I ain't had no relationship with Spud, right? But Spud and Tolkien about it, he said, listen, we need to talk to the pastor. He said, only guy I talked to is Mr. Duran. I didn't know that he's going to give me, he knew I needed Camilla in the ministry. He knew I needed somebody with OCD because he knew I was crazy off the charts. So I had to have somebody that was organized. But he brought it in such a back way. And not only that, I got some free breakfast out of it for a long time. Spud kept feeding me for a long time. You know, and so it built that relationship. Really, y'all? And see, and I really look at things that way. I'm like, God, you gave me this church, man. What am I going to do with all these people? I don't know how to do this. Then I realized why he gave me Ardina. I ain't nothing about it. I wasn't feeding the homeless people. And then all of a sudden, Tracy came up and said, listen, I want to do a food for life. Right? And listen to me. God know everything you need. You just got to trust him, let him work with you. Right? So listen, here's the wrap up. So now, as we wrap up, watch what the summit says. He says, now, I want you to search me. I want you to search me and know my heart. Everybody say, know my heart. I want you to search me. And I want you to know my heart, right? He says, and test me and know my anxious thoughts. He said, then I want you to point out anything in me that offends you. Because I don't want to offend you. I want to work with you because you made me the way you made me. And people are going to come and try to derail me and send me different ways. Right? And I'm going to walk here not thinking I'm somebody when I am somebody. I remember Bishop Wells told me one time he was riding in the car with his daddy, and he told me this story, Alex. He said, I was riding in this car. We was on our way to Memphis, Tennessee. He said, and daddy looked over there, and they was driving the car. He said, daddy, he got these people thinking I'm somebody, and we ain't nobody. That's what God will do. God will make you think you somebody, make everybody think you somebody when you ain't really nobody. Right? What he does, he says, if you walk with him, he'll give you favor with people. And he'll make people think you important when you don't even feel like you're important. You think, I can't do this here. They say, but everybody else thinks you're so good. I don't know why they think I can do that. I can't do that, and you're doing it so good. Right? That's why when he says, point out to me anything that offends you and lead me along the path, I want you to point out anything in me that would derail me, Terrio, and make me not be the best husband I can be, not be the best doctor I can be, or the best writer, or the best basketball player. I want to be the best of the best. I'm already the best if I know who God is in my life. And God don't make no junk. Everybody say, I am somebody. That's what Jesse said. I didn't understand what he was talking about until he said it. And when he said it, it meant something. Right? So I want you to, when you go, every day I meditate, and I would challenge you to close your eyes and look inward. Take some deep breaths on a four count. Breathe out. Try to eliminate the noise. And then just talk to the God inside of you. And let him show you what he intends for you to be and how he wants to work with you. He wants to be in your life. And he's inside of you, but he wants you to wake up and realize he's there with you. And quit complaining. Stop complaining. Stop. I know you grew up with it. It's like a hereditary. Quit complaining and just be. You got to stop complaining and realize who I am. If my father is the king, and I got access to all the resources, why am I begging anybody? That's why he said, you're the lender, not the borrower. Once you realize who you are, right, don't none of us have nothing. For real. Don't y'all think y'all got some money in the bank? Because they can, in a split second, if you don't believe it, act Bernie Madoff. They had millions of dollars on Monday. Tuesday, they was all broke. The stock market can crash tomorrow, and you won't have no paper money. But here's the beauty of it. Somebody gonna have something. And when I'm in favor with God, he give me favor with people. This business is a people business. When my heart is right, I treat people right. I don't treat things right. You know, I just watched this movie, Little Miss Little Christmas or something like that. And the girl was a perfect, how many people saw the movie? It was a Christmas movie. And the girl, she had everything perfect. She was in Silicon Valley. She had everything perfect. Her family came in and just messed everything up. She had a high-tech house and all that. And the guy came, he says, why are you tripping over things? And the thing that matter is people. If you want your business to flourish, treat the people right. Because the people is God. That's his temple. You mistreat my temple and destroy my temple, I'll destroy you. You hurt my people, and then you got to answer to me. So today is your birthday. You get to let God be the head of your life for the rest of your life. Everybody stand to your feet. Give the Lord a hand clap. So I want to give you guys an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And Jesus, in this day and time, he's operating us through the Spirit. And we want the Spirit of God active in our life. If let's bow our heads. And I just want everybody to repeat after me to help other people who are afraid to do it by themselves. Say, Dear Lord, I'm asking you to come into my life and be the Lord of my life. I'm going to give you my entire life. And I'm trusting you that you're going to walk with me, talk with me, be with me, and operate through me. And I'll be willing to give you every aspect of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, as we leave this place, never your presence, give us traveling mercies. Let us leave realizing that the person that we encounter in you. Let us be able to see the God in them. Let us always be a representative of you in everything we do. So, Lord, we thank you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The altar's open for those who like prayer. I would love to pray with some of you all. I'd love to pray with you. Please come down.